Ladies and gentlemen, what if episode 8 had just started filming and you could talk to somebody who's on the ground in close approximation of what's happening? Well, we do. All right, folks. It is the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad that you have tuned into this particular podcast episode. Oh, man. Boy, howdy. Do we have a great show for you today. Welcome to the program. Again, Star Wars Report episode 209. Boy. All right, folks. Let's get real here. I'm Riley Blanton, your host for this week's podcast, and we're here talking. It's almost all episode 8. Yes, I know Star Wars Rogue One is still, you know, wrapping up production, and that comes out next. But we're too impatient. We're still riding the high of Star Wars Episode 7, the speculation, the fan theories, the enthusiasm. And that's a huge fun part of it. So that means as Star Wars Episode 8 gets ready to get underway, it means that everyone's, you know, top of mind questions. The fan community is thinking about these saga films, these episodic films. What's happening? Where are our heroes journeying next? And I am so fortunate to bring in a very special guest for our first segment here on the podcast. And I'm going to look at my notes, ladies and gentlemen, because he is the founder and head honcho. He is the Emperor Palpatine. Let's be a little more charitable. He's the chief Yoda to the Jedi Council of Insider Holidays. He's based in the tourism industry in Croatia, specifically in the town of Dubrovnik. It's, All right. Well, and again, this is, I told him we had a little bit of pre-show conversation, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare, because he will have every right to mock me after I attempt to introduce Mr. Brojdar Jukic.
That's so bad.
Yeah, pretty nice. It was Jukic, though. But thank you, Riley, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Thank you very much for the grand introduction. I don't know how am I supposed to follow this.
Well, you're being too nice is the first thing. Jukic, thank you. No, thank you so much for coming on the program. And you guys contacted us, and I'm so glad to have someone who's inside and on the ground, because news has been breaking inside. It's been rumored. It's been talked about. But now, at least in terms of the local outlets, it's beginning to break that Star Wars Episode 8 is filming in Dubrovnik, Croatia, that's so exciting already, and I have so many questions. But I just want to start off with saying, tell us a little bit about the film industry in Dubrovnik, and you know, how did these rumors first start? How did you first hear that Disney might bring Star Wars to Croatia?
Right. Well, just maybe for your listeners' benefit, just to make note that I'm here not as through my tour company, but through StarWarsDubrovnik.com.
Absolutely.
Fan blog that was started by myself and my friend Jay Kuerak from Dubrovnik, where I'm the main. I do all the texts. He does all the promotion. But we started the blog as soon as we heard the first rumors that Star Wars is going to be filming in Dubrovnik. Now, Dubrovnik is a very popular tourism destination in Croatia, so East Mediterranean. Lovely medieval city. You should come to visit it once. But the point is that the city is no stranger to foreign film productions, or national for that matter. So obviously a lot of people will know the name of Dubrovnik from the HBO's Game of Thrones franchise, where Dubrovnik sort of played the role, quote-unquote, of King's Landing. And the thing with Dubrovnik is it has a wonderfully preserved medieval historical center, which people say saved a lot of money on special effects for HBO when they were filming Game of Thrones. But a lot of the times foreign films or TV shows are going to be filmed here, and the city will be maybe playing a role of Italy, because there's a lot of Italian influences historically in our architecture, as was the case, for example, in hilarious, so bad it's good Captain America from 1990. all the scenes.
I did not know that. There. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Italian scenes were all shot in Dubrovnik. And I don't know if you know the movie. It's if you like that sort of so bad they're good movies, you might know it.
I've never seen but I've certainly heard of it, sir.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. There is this hilarious scene where Captain America steals a car from this girl, and it's shot in front of Director's Palace, which is one of the locations announced as location for Episode 8.
Wow. That's what's so exciting, that we're just kind of getting in here on the ground floor. And again, yes, that website and you guys contacted us, and we're going to put it in the show notes for episode 209. So make sure you go to StarWarsReport.com. We'll get you the links. It's StarWarsDubrovnik.com. And in fact, because I saw this, when was this? This was not too long ago, but the idea of Jedi News was reporting that the rumors were beginning. But I guess, how did you first hear that that the grand galaxy far, far away might not be so far, far away?
Right. Well, I don't recall who started the rumor locally. Maybe it was the Burning Times or so. But basically, they I think Making Star Wars were the first foreign media that we know of who started speculating with the name of Dubrovnik. And I have to tell you, with everything I said, being a medieval city and all that stuff, at first I was very skeptical because I didn't know what would they film here. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, if you classic Star Wars backdrops are usually deserts and, you know, forests and maybe, you know, industrial stuff, and it was, I didn't know where they're going to go, but this area was, it's interesting because it's very diverse in a small area. So we thought there was some merit maybe to the rumors. But as it turns out, the rumors have been true, and the filming is due to start supposedly very soon. So, yay.
I know, that's really exciting, man. And I think it is an interesting choice, because the first thing we see when we talk about some of the locations that I've seen, at least in a preliminary fashion, is incredible and very medieval. And I love that look, and that's something that we hadn't really seen in Star Wars, at least until recently, because of course we saw Maz Kanata's pirate castle. But that kind of got destroyed, so I don't think that's the same location. But talk us through some of the highlights of what
sites are. All the main attractions that are there. They obviously need to say we're closing down these places. You know, well,
old walls, Rector's palace. I'm looking at these things, and it is a very, when you say Italian, it's not architecture that's entirely strange to Star Wars in this respect, because for anyone who saw the prequels, it looks very similar to some of the locations that were shot in Italy, in fact, for mm-hmm. The Phantom Menace, the scenes that were in the Naboo Palace. And so it would be interesting to see if perhaps some of the more Italian architecture could be used for the planet of Naboo. That would be kind of my first speculation for that. But then, of course, equally, though, some of the the medieval, like the city walls, don't necessarily have as distinct an Italian look. At least they could kind of double and on a couple different fronts. So it's interesting to see which ones of these filming locations have or haven't been reserved. And do you guys know, like, specifically which ones are going to be used?
Well, yeah. I mean, going back to my previous bit, the actual filming for Star Wars is now officially confirmed for the last, like, an hour and a half, something like that, a few hours, because the mayor was quoted as saying, yeah, we're doing it.
Ah, okay, so it's official as it gets.
Star Wars, but the locations that were announced yesterday were the actual locations that we put in our blog as well, which are some of the most recognizable sites of the city, including city walls, the main street called Stradun, Rector's Palace, which is one of the top attractions in the city, and Old City Port, also very recognizable, and a few streets, Sveto Dominika and Pustina, doesn't matter, but a few of the, we have a lot of these narrow, winding, marbled streets. It's all stone. It's all polished stone on the bottom, and all the stone houses. The city even once stood in for Jerusalem when they were filming the show Dig, because they needed to move the filming out of Jerusalem, out of Israel, and they shot some scenes in Dubrovnik, which is strange. But yeah, there's, you know, there are all these. The entire web of small streets and the staircases and all that stuff, everything in stone, everything from 14th, 15th, 16th century onwards. So, yeah, those are the actual locations that they announced.
That's amazing. And it's so great to see that you guys are doing this local in Dubrovnik. And I love StarWarsDubrovnik.com because I was just perusing through some of, you know, my regular hangouts as a Star Wars fan, like Making Star Wars. They've already linked up to you guys. And as we record this, it's Friday the 12th. Of course, this podcast will be going up this coming Monday. So as you guys are listening to this, I imagine some of this news is going to be, especially over the weekend, really breaking into the mainstream a lot, which I think is really exciting. And just from your description, and we'll put a lot of these pictures and the links in the show notes for episode 209. It really does fit nicely and perfectly into the narrative that J.J. Abrams already established in the importance and the absolute importance of having physical, tangible sets that you can recognize. Yes, Star Wars does need a lot of green screen and heavy special effects budgets, but it also needs to be grounded in reality. And that's something that Episode 7 certainly got universal praise for. So it makes perfect sense that these kinds of beautiful places, you know, on location sets are what they are going for exactly. Now, we've got the filming dates. You mentioned it's coming up in March, correct?
Exactly. The actual filming dates, that was a bit of a letdown because it's not that long of a filming. It's some a week of really, it seems, intense filming, because they announced dates to be from March 9th to March 17th, basically early in the morning, where the filming is going to go on during the afternoon and night. So they're saying they're going to film from 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. Ah. So I'm guessing a lot of a lot of night shots.
Interesting. Yeah. No, that's intriguing first, and second, also maybe slightly disappointing, because the location is so beautiful. It'd be a shame not to see it all, but that does make sense when you talk about it there. Well, the website is StarWarsDubrovnik.com. You can, again, catch the links to that in our show notes here at the Star Wars Report at StarWarsReport.com for episode 209. Wow. Sir, I really do appreciate it, you coming on the program. Is there any final plugs where folks can find your work or catch up with the goings on of Star Wars Episode 8 filming coming up soon?
Well, basically, I mean, we are trying to do all this news. And when we started doing the actual blog, we started, you know how it is with fans. We like to fantasize. So you say, oh, I wonder what the locations are going to be. Mm-hmm. And, but now that when they started publishing the actual, you know, information, we've been pretty regular with the news. We are going to start, getting all the latest news and rumors and gossip and everything. But Dubrovnik is a very small town and everybody knows everybody. It's going to be very hard for them, as powerful as the production is, to stop people from you know, getting information, because you can see everybody everywhere. Once they start moving in the gear. By the way, one more bit of information that was published earlier today was apparently the filming in Dubrovnik is going to cost some $5.5 million per day. So that's you know, strong enough budget for very interesting, you know, options when it comes to shooting.
I can tell you that that's not, they're not shooting some kind of low budget TV show. That's definitely if there was any question before as to what they're shooting, we know now. But that's awesome.
So basically, what I'm interested in is obviously, as a fan and the local, is what are the shots that are going to be shot here? And also, of course, this is our main thing, what are the characters that are going to appear here? So I don't know if you have any ideas or your listeners have any ideas, but I would love to hear them in the, you know, upcoming podcast or whatever.
Because absolutely.
I started following your work as well since recently, and I'm enjoying it.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm definitely much appreciated. Yeah, and I guess we'll be finding out very soon, because that's, you know, that's less than a month away when they start. So I'm imagining as production and crew and cast will start arriving there very soon, and those rumors will be coming out, and you should stay tuned. In fact, you should do what I just did, in fact, because I was looking it up, and you guys do have a Twitter. It's at Star Wars DBK, and I just followed it, and... sir, I'm about to get the word out to a lot of Star Wars fans about that Twitter account. So,
well, yeah, thank you for that. And I'm just getting my bearings around all this newfound glory.
Absolutely,
but I think the hype is going to go on.
Brojdar, I'm so excited because I talked about this a little bit in our call beforehand, but. You have no idea the media storm that is about to descend upon your fair city in the coming weeks. And I'm very excited. So what I'd like for you to do is stay in touch. Email us anytime. We'd love to have you back on the program, maybe a little bit closer to time in a few weeks, or maybe even during the filming at some point, to give us the lowdown on a local perspective there on the ground.
Excellent. Well, I'll be sure to share my thoughts and maybe some maybe even exclusive stuff with you as the filming starts, because I'm already sort of recruiting people to snoop around and give me any information they can come across. You know?
That's what I like to hear, man. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, we'll let you go, and we will be talking to you in the very near future, sir.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited. That was beyond my wildest hopes and dreams. Folks, you're listening to the Star Wars Report podcast. Let's do it.
Hey, this is Sam Witwer from Being Human, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
I got to get a little bit faster on the drop on those little bumpers if I'm going solo, because that's right, folks. If you can't tell, it's a week where I'm solo. Mark is at work today, and I was unable to record at our normal time because I've got a big crew of fellow ROTC cadets at Detachment 165. Where we are going out to see Deadpool tonight, and we're really excited about it. So, unfortunately, the Star Wars Report recording had to take a back seat, but fear not! We are still taking care of you and getting a show out this week. No canceling shows. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because of our fine supporters at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. If you enjoy the program you're listening to, if you enjoy, I don't know, hearing exclusives from people who are actually on the ground where the next Star Wars movie is filming weeks before it even starts, that's the kind of stuff you hear on the Star Wars Report podcast. And we are so lucky to be in the position we are, and we're so fortunate to have your guys' support. So if you want to support the show, help us take things to the next level, I want to make sure that you go over to patreon.com/StarWarsReport. There are a lot of great levels that you can chip in. Whatever you can afford, toss in, and we have some great bonuses for you along the way. For example, and of course, I almost forgot. I had to actually pull it up here because far be it for me. I do not want to sell myself short, because Bruce Gibson, a friend of the show, who we actually just saw The Force Awakens with last week, he has set up for me and all the other fellow patrons who are at the $15 level a big Bothan Roundtable. It's our third monthly roundtable. We're making this a tradition for our Patreon supporters. And it's coming up this Saturday, February 20th at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're doing a Google Hangout with all of our patrons at that level and above. And so make sure if you're interested in that kind of thing or just the bonus audio that we send out, that sort of thing, you can find it at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Again, that's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Let's do it.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen, listen.
Good Lord. It's not me. It must be it must be the actual tablet that I'm using. Folks, I've got all kinds of fancy-dancy stuff, like new microphones, new camera. All kinds of cool stuff. And again, it's because of you guys supporting us on Patreon. But evidently, I need a new tablet because the soundboard I'm using is not as punchy as I'd like. Let's talk about the news, ladies and gentlemen. It's another week of many things happening. The first one I want to talk about is the Harrison Ford, well, I should say the lack of Harrison Ford in the next Han Solo standalone film. You guys know what we're talking about. It's that May 2018 release date. Where, you know, a lot of people are speculating that it would be postponed. That, since Rogue One is December and now Episode 8 is December 2017, that it would only make sense that the May 2018 release be pushed back to another December release, making it yearly consecutive December releases. But, let's see here. I'm looking at this on Club Jade. It looks like that Han Solo standalone film is going to stay in May, which is I think is very exciting. It's very exciting. And then at the same time, like we mentioned in the call just a moment ago, Episode 8 has begun filming. Evidently not in Croatia because it's a few weeks till that happens. But filming for the next Star Wars film, Rogue One, is basically complete. And think about this, the next episodic film is being filmed right now. In fact, Bob Iger was saying that, it was Bob Iger who confirmed that Episode 8 was filming, but also that The Force Awakens has earned Disney, I didn't catch this until a moment ago, has earned Disney $3 billion in tie-in material. $3 billion. So, it's basically $2 billion gross for the box office and $3 billion for tie-in material. So basically, they easily made up their purchase cost for Star Wars with just one movie release. That is ridiculous. Let's also talk about it here. Let's pull up my news show notes. Ewan McGregor, he is in talks, which is always an exciting time, but hold on to your horses, folks. It's not in talks about Obi-Wan spinoff film. No. We're now hearing talks that he is doing a Force Ghost cameo. Of course, we did hear Ewan McGregor's voice briefly saying, "These are your first steps." Which was, of course, very exciting. But it wasn't seeing the man. So there's a possibility that, that Ewan McGregor might appear as a Force Ghost Obi-Wan in an upcoming Star Wars film, which I think would be absolutely fantastic. One more news story I want to hit this week, very briefly here. Again, I'm still trying to get over the whole... I have the pictures up on my computer now of Dubrovnik and the amazing Star Wars locations. One more news story that I definitely didn't want to miss, and this one was, I thought, kind of interesting. It was the whole Harrison Ford leg injury thing. Do we want to talk? Yeah, so there is a lawsuit now, evidently. And so I didn't have a whole lot of commentary on this other than, you know, it's kind of a shame, you know, that poor Harrison Ford was hurt. But at the same time, it's not necessarily, whenever you hear lawsuit, it always seems like an unpleasant thing to hear. So I was thinking about it this way. They did drop a hydraulic door on him. I'm not sure that I'm that unsympathetic. In fact, I am. I'm very sympathetic of poor Harrison Ford. I think, of course, no one knows the exact details of the situation, but the fact that there's a lawsuit now doesn't surprise me. The only thing that surprised me is that it took this long. And in fact, I'll never forget the first moment I realized, oh yeah, yeah, he probably is kind of ticked off about this still, was on a Jimmy Kimmel appearance. No, Jimmy Fallon. Sorry, not to confuse the two late night show hosts. and he's like, so I heard you hurt your knee or you hurt your foot there. And he's like, they dropped a bleeping door on me. Only it was Harrison Ford was like, they dropped a bleeping door on me. Hi, I'm Harrison Ford. I'm Harrison Ford. That's my Harrison Ford impression. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. All right. All right. I gotta clean the palate here a little bit, and we're going to get to y'all's feedback. Let's do it right now.
Hi, this is Matthew Wood. I play the voice of General Grievous in Star Wars The Clone Wars, and I'm here at Fan Days, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Now, that's the funny thing about recording solo, is that you just need sometimes you need a little bit of time to bump between segments. We got feedback. It's still getting a lot of feedback on why we love Star Wars. Let's start with I don't have the name here, but let's talk about this email says, you guys are great. Listen for a few weeks, and you guys are definitely part of my top five podcasts. That's okay. We'll take fifth. You know when they say, by the way, top five, you know exactly where they put it. But we'll take it. Well, a proud number five, Cinco. It says, what you said about the prequels being a small piece of a larger mosaic that is Star Wars was so profound that it made me have to pause the podcast and think about it. Thanks for the great podcast and keep up the good work. Well, you know who you are. We appreciate your email. And yes, no, I honestly, and this is the problem with podcasting, I don't remember who said that, but I kind of want to take credit for it because our listener was so pleased with it. I have no idea if it's me. But it is. It's so true. The prequels are a part of the story, no matter whether you like them or not. They are an intrinsic part of the in and out of universe story of Star Wars. Star Wars would not be what it is today without the prequels. And I still remain today an enormous defender of the prequels. And I certainly see their faults. It doesn't mean I still don't love them. I can see their faults, but I still love the prequels. And you know what? I'm glad that they're making even better Star Wars films. I always hate to do the comparison thing, but I absolutely love The Force Awakens and probably more than, I'll say half the prequels. Definitely one, but maybe two of the prequel movies. It bumps its way up past a lot of the prequels in my favorite Star Wars film list. That's so true. That's so true. And we do appreciate you listening, and we will keep podcasting, even if it is at odd times of Friday in the middle of the afternoon when we're getting ready to go see Deadpool. All right. This one's from Damien. He says, why I love Star Wars? It's because it captures my imagination, and I feel like I can be free in a galaxy, and every time I see it, I feel like I'm a character in it. This is all coming from a man who's on the autism spectrum and has ADHD. When it feels like I can escape to the world and forget my troubles and be a member in the wars among the stars. I know you want Wars Among the Stars. I know you wanted one sentence response, but it was hard for me to answer it once. Then it's may the force be with you. Well, Damien, that's awesome, man. That was surprisingly heartfelt, and I really do appreciate it. And that's the thing; it's hard to boil down in one sentence. And in fact, you can't boil it down in one sentence. My whole thing of it being about transformation, that was a total cop-out because I boiled it down to a sentence that then has to have three follow-ups to explain that sentence. But it's a hard thing to do, and it's unique and it's individual. And I love how for Damien, it's a matter of it's a world, it's a universe that you can feel like you're a participant in when you're watching it and just lose yourself in the universe itself, which I think is such an exciting time. I'm so glad that Star Wars has moved to its the place it is today, and I think these are the kinds of conversations that need to be had when it comes to Star Wars now.
The Emperor's made a critical error and the time for our attack has come.
Hi, my name is Carolyn Blakiston, and I played Mon Mothma in The Return of the Jedi.
The data brought to us by the Bothan spies pinpoint the exact location of the Emperor's new battle station.
And you're listening to the Bothan Report. Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
All right, folks, surprise. As I recorded the podcast on Friday, I did not realize I would have this opportunity, so we actually continue the podcast episode here. I'm just going to drop this interview right in because I have a man here of many talents, of many disciplines, and of course, he's a man who's lucky enough to be on the ground in New York City for Toy Fair. From Jedi News, it's Mr. James Burns. James, welcome to the Star Wars Report podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Riley.
It's a pleasure to see you, sir. It was so great to see you back in the day. It was Celebration, right? And we've crossed paths a couple times.
We have. But not enough.
Just not enough. And in fact, there. I was talking to Mark, of course, Mark Newbold, on last week's show, and he was. I was teasing him because there's a sliver of hope that I will be in London for Celebration Europe. So we will have to rectify that and get a chance to hang out a little bit more. But you're here to give us the lowdown on what went down at Toy Fair this past weekend. So as many of our listeners know, collecting is not my central focus of Star Wars fandom until I started just sweeping up an insane amount of Lego leading up to The Force Awakens. It's okay. Kind of changing. But in fact, I am not, that's never been a huge part of my Star Wars fandom. So I've always kind of been the observer with a few token items here and there. But certainly nothing compared to a lot of good friends of mine. So give me the lowdown. What is Toy Fair in terms of Star Wars? What does it mean? And actually my first question, even though it's kind of three parts here, but the central thing is, I know you've been in the past. What is different about Star Wars' presence at Toy Fair now that The Force Awakens has been released?
Well, I can finally answer the question that's been on everybody's lips for probably since December the 18th. Where's Rey? She is everywhere.
Aha!
Every single product that you see has Rey on. And for those that have listened to Mark and I gamble on together on Radio 1138 and also on the Collector's Cast, for us, Rey was always there. You know, she was just selling out, which was amazing. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's been really, really nice to see. And there's... Also, bear in mind that she only had two costume changes during The Force Awakens. So there were, you know, Disney and Lucasfilm had to keep that second costume change back to the 18th because they didn't want to give too much away with the lightsaber and various bits and pieces. But Rey is everywhere and there is loads and loads of Rey products and merchandise and stuff coming. And, you know, you name it, from the Monopoly game that Hasbro promised, and Rey is here proudly on display in their showroom, which is actually on a pedestal, as she should be. There you go. And yeah, she looks great. And BB-8. I mean, there's so many BB-8 products as well.
That is awesome.
It's funny.
Well, and what's funny is just to interject a little bit, I think what casts all of these new products in perspective is that that conference call for Disney investors that Bob Iger did, the quarterly call, where he kind of casually mentioned, oh, and by the way, $3 billion, that's the number of the merchandise revenue for Disney in this whole merchandise-a-palooza, which is just incredible.
So if you stop and analyze that figure... Mm-hmm. And that you say the film's taken $2 billion,
yep,
and Disney will probably pocket half of that.
Thereabouts.
Then there's the money that they've paid for Lucasfilm.
In one movie. That is astounding.
But we, you know, Mark and I have always maintained that this film was always a $4 billion film.
Yes, famously. Mark was on this very show over a year ago proclaiming that it would make exactly... $2.2 billion, and man, is he right pretty much on the money.
He's
a little short,
little short for a stormtrooper, although he's rather tall for a stormtrooper, but we won't go there. He should be Vader, but anyway. He's sitting next to me, so I can give him some grief. Yeah, I mean, it's really, really great. Star Wars has always had an amazing presence here at Toy Fair. A lot of stuff is held in closed rooms. So last year when we were here, it was Mark's first time here at Toy Fair. I've been coming out here for the last 6 or 7 years, as well as attending. I've attended the UK Toy Fair for about 15 years. So last year was really interesting because all of the Force Awakens product was all locked away. We were able to see some of it, which was great. Obviously, we had to sign NDAs and sign our life away. This year, there's Rogue One signs up everywhere, but there's very little product on display. Well, okay, there's no product on display for the public to see, but the product is here. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. I was wondering about that because I remembered the official word was that there was going to be no Rogue One products, but I can't imagine that they aren't at least well on their way to brokering these license deals and getting ready to get those production machines a turnin', because I mean they've already announced I forget the exact date, but they're doing the Force Friday again this coming year.
Well, okay, I'll be honest with you here. When we were at UK Toy Fair, we were told the date for Force Friday this year.
Okay.
And we didn't break the news because we heard it from one licensee, and that particular licensee at the time said, please keep it quiet. We walked in here yesterday, and within an hour, four additional licensees had told us when the date was, and not one of them had told us that we needed to keep it quiet. So we thought, well, let's put it out there. So we did, and the internet sort of went crazy with it. So Force Friday this year will actually be Friday the 30th of September. So it's almost a month later than it was for The Force Awakens. And, you know, I think one of the reasons for that is that last year, I think it fell on Labor Day weekend.
Yes, I remember it well because I was at Dragon Con when it was going down.
So it's a little bit later, which probably sits better with the film's release.
Yeah.
And I have to say that we have seen some product packaging whilst we're here. I'm not going to tell you what's on it because I don't think that's fair, but people will be blown away with how it looks. And we were incredibly stoked and incredibly impressed with how we saw it. And
that is awesome.
Replaces Kylo Ren? So yeah.
Oh wow! See, look at me. I was getting ready for my follow up, and you're saving the best for there. That's amazing. So many questions. All right. I have literally 5 billion questions now. But
yeah,
but suffice to say, do you think they're ready to really make the visual language of the marketing for Rogue One to be distinctive from The Force Awakens? Because we've talked about this a lot on the show when it comes to the overall marketing, which of course includes all this merchandise, for the casual film goer, it's going to take some public awareness campaign to really make sure that people know this is a spin-off film.
Nah, it won't.
Oh, really?
Well, once you see the packaging, no, it won't.
That's an interesting choice because it seems sort of like twofold, because there's such a fever surrounding The Force Awakens and all of the fan theories and all of the expectation and who's Rey's father and is what's the identity of Snoke and all of these questions that were raised.
I can answer those now. Do you want me to? No, I'm not.
but seriously, like, you have all of that going on, and so the world's mind in terms of Star Wars is on the episodic films, and part of it seems like, well, you need to just make this film distinct so people realize this is not a sequel to Episode 7, The Force Awakens. But on the other hand, it may not just hurt to kind of let some of that that public fervor carry over in the old dollars and cents department, so that some of these things are being snatched up, even if it's just your casual mom of the 9-year-old who's like, it's Star Wars, and we liked that last movie, so let's buy more stuff.
Look, bear in mind that whatever way or look that they choose, they are going to be, and Hasbro confirmed this yesterday, they are going to still be supporting the prequel trilogy, the original trilogy, and The Force Awakens on the same card designs. So unless they're Black Series 6-inch or Black Series 3¾-inch, which are exclusive to Walmart, the look of the card has to carry through all of those 7 films, as well as Rogue One.
Well, yeah, that's, wow, that's true. Interesting. And I did not know that. No, that makes sense when you put it that way. I did not know that. So fascinating, fascinating. And that's really exciting to hear. Do we know when some of the street dates are going to first launch for specifically Hasbro stuff for Rogue One? Is it all the way until September 30th, or do you think we're going to see some Rogue One material maybe from Hasbro or from other licensees before the end of September?
I don't think we'll see anything before September the 1st. September 30th.
Oh, yeah, no.
Right,
see, that's such a weird, that's such a strange play for me, because it seems like you really need more momentum earlier. Although maybe Star Wars.
No, maybe you don't, because, but, you know, bearing in mind, that's still giving you just over 2 months.
That's true. That's true.
You've got the whole of October, the whole of November. You know, I'm sure there'll be lots and lots of TV spots. And then, you know, the film's in the bang smack in the middle of December. So maybe you don't. And bearing in mind that the majority of the holiday catalogs, that's really the last date that they can push things out.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it fits quite nicely.
You know, and this is why you know more about it than I do, James, because it, as you explain it, it makes perfect sense to me. But now let's talk about Lego, because this is like,
okay.
I unfortunately, we won't go through everything here. And right now, make sure you're on Instagram following Jedi News UK. That's the handle. And of course, Jedi News Live is the handle on Twitter. We'll leave those links in the show notes, but make sure that you follow those two, because that's really all of the pictures of the merchandise. Some really great coverage,
coming.
You guys.
Yeah,
you guys are doing amazing work. Seriously,
thank
dude,
you.
It's awesome stuff. And so, but of course, the one thing I am going to get nerdy about is the new Star Wars Lego sets. What are we going to see, James?
So what are we going to see? Well, I think the big announcement was Lego Star Wars The Freemaker Adventures.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And we got to see a trailer.
Well, all right. Now, all right, stop it. Now stop it. Why can't I be in New York? I'm telling you, I live here in the States, and I still haven't ever made it to Toy Fair or New York Comic Con. I'm going to make it happen one of these days. So you've seen the trailer. Is this in the vein of the previous Lego Star Wars animated series?
Very, very much so. And it's hysterically funny. And the premise is there's been a new lightsaber that's been found that is made exclusively of kyber crystals. And the lightsaber itself is so powerful that they've had to split it up into multiple pieces and scatter it around the galaxy.
That...
And the Freemaker family are trying to find it before Darth Vader does.
The Freemakers. Is Nicolas Cage going to show up and look for the steal the Constitution of the United States in the middle of this?
Let's hope not.
That is amazing.
But there's a little twist here.
Okay.
This actually takes place between episodes 5 and 6, so between Empire and Return of the Jedi. So the story itself is happening within a canonical period.
Okay.
If that makes sense. But the story itself isn't canon. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that does make sense. And there's more programming, I know, and I don't have it all in front of me that Lego is doing as well.
I'll throw in one other thing.
Okay.
Dengar is in the show.
I saw this set.
I'm
looking for it now. It's see, I should have had it up with me, but there's this mysterious Lego set that was on display that had Dengar in it. And is that's what it's from? Is this new animated series?
Yes.
See,
so
that is awesome.
There were two ships that are shown and are going to be made available from the series. And they're going to be, I think it's June here in the States and July in the UK and Europe.
Nice.
And they look pretty cool sets. I'm just bringing up the pictures of them myself, so give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, no, as am I. And that, see, the Dengar one looked particularly fascinating to me. And also there is this deceptively blank minifig. That's the word I'm
Well,
looking for.
I can tell you the names of all the action figures.
Okay, let's hear them.
So, in terms of the set that Dengar comes in, also comes with a female... Jedi, we believe. I'm not sure. Called Nair, spelt N-A-A-R-E. And the picture that I've got in front of me, she's actually got a red blade, so probably not a Jedi.
Gotcha. Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm. So Dengar and her may be teaming up to try and stop the Freemakers from doing what they need to do?
See, And ever since, and I'll tell you, James, like Dengar, I have this weird fascination and love of the bounty hunter Dengar for two reasons. One is the amazing short story in Tales of the Bounty Hunters.
Yes.
The second, well, actually three. Let's make it three. The second one is the MC Chris song, Dengar's Dump Track, which you, if you have not heard it, is just the best thing ever. And third, and probably paramount, is the robot chicken bit with,
yes.
with Dengar. So
I need to get my son a job.
Exactly. Oh man. So and can folks find all these pictures and stuff on Jedi News, I assume?
They certainly can. It's one of the galleries. So you've got the Eclipse Fighter, which comes with Dengar, and the hero vehicle, if you like.
Would you do me a huge favor, James, and pop those in the old Skype chat for me real quick?
I will do that.
Perfect.
Let me just tell you the name of the other ship is called the Star Scavenger.
The Star Scavenger. And then tell me again the name of Dengar's ship.
Dengar's ship is, well, Dengar's in a much smaller ship, but this mysterious Jedi Sith character is in a ship called the Eclipse Fighter.
The Eclipse Fighter, okay.
Yeah. And the characters that come, or the family that come with the other set, are Rowan, who's their son, Xander, who is the father, and Cordy, who is the mother. And they have a little faithful droid, and the droid is called R0GR, which, put it together and you get Roger. You know, nice. Where we're going with this. Mm-hmm. It's a battle droid. It's a mixed match battle droid of tan and gray parts.
Wow.
And I would imagine we'll be hearing Roger Roger quite a bit during the show. but, you know, just looks incredibly, incredibly funny.
I just found the pictures of it. Okay, so this is the Star Scavenger, which is the family ship, which kind of has it's sort of vaguely, what's the name of Dash Rendar's ship? The Outrider? It's sort of like half Outrider, half something else.
It looks cool.
It's a cool look. And then, of course, but my favorite look by far is the others of the Eclipse Fighter there with Dengar's awesome speeder and this Sith looking character. And that's fascinating to me. And you're right. They still have the packaging of the Kylo Ren up top that we, of course, are so familiar with.
Because the packaging won't change until the 30th of September.
Mm-hmm.
Put my teeth back in.
But my favorite set of this entire bunch.
Go on.
Is,
I know what it's going to be.
I'm sure you do. Is, of course, the clone tank. Not the clone turbo tank, but
The ATT.
Thank you. The ATTE from Star Wars Rebels with Captain Rex. That thing is basically. What is it? It's basically the Mad Max version of an AT-TE, and I am very excited. I want it in my life yesterday.
It's, I have to say, I've played with it. We played with it at the UK Toy Fair last month, and we played with it yesterday, and it's an immensely amazing, amazing vehicle. Some people are already complaining that it's not accurate enough. I don't know what people want or expect from, you know, something like this that appeared in, you know, a couple of episodes of a show, but I think Lego have done an amazing job to turn it around as quickly as they have, bearing in mind that they don't get to see these things particularly quickly. You know, everybody seems to think that, you know, the turnaround times on some of this stuff is years, and it isn't. I first saw this set late last year and in its early form, and I think they've done a superb job. And figure wise it comes with the Stormtrooper, it comes with the Fifth Brother Inquisitor.
Nice.
It comes with Commander Gregor. It comes with Commander Wolf. And, of course, with John O'Farmer. Sorry, Captain Rex.
Mm-hmm.
John O'Farmer is Captain Rex, but, you know. So he gets his... I can't believe Jono, one of our community, is being immortalized in plastic. So that's pretty cool.
That is incredible. I really do like it. And it's a tough... I mean, this is what... and frankly... I was so in love with Star Wars Rebels when they went this direction, and it lends itself perfectly to the world of Lego, because if you're a kid playing around, you can just take one of your other Star Wars Lego sets and you're like, you know what this needs? This needs the cannons off of the side of an AT-AT.
Yes.
And we're going to put that, slap those things on, and why not just throw some X-Wing guns on the top? And that's like, that's exactly what Lego is designed to do. That's why, as far as like collectibles, Lego is the one, is my one greatest weakness in the world of Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing, the other piece of feedback that I've been hearing is that, where's Ahsoka? Where's Ahsoka in it, in all of this?
Hashtag, you know, it. Hashtag it.
No.
It's a movement. You started it, James.
No, because I'm going to give you a piece of information.
Okay.
That Lego don't show their exclusives, their retailer exclusives at the Toy Fair.
Ah.
So, even though you think Ahsoka may be missing right now, this is Ahsoka from Rebels. I have it on good authority that we will get her around about the same sort of time from one particular retailer.
Now that is exciting. Well, I'll tell you what, I and of course Star Wars Rebels is steaming along really well. Not to forget, there's also a Resistance X-Wing fighter, the encounter on Jakku,
which is stunning. I have to say that Lugger Beast that looks amazing.
That is incredible. And of course, we have a new A-Wing fighter and a new clone turbo tank. And I'll tell you what, it's an exciting time. They're really covering a wide variety of the Star Wars saga.
And the advent calendar, which features Snow Chewbacca, who looks amazing, I have to say. We don't know what other minifigures in their entirety will be in the advent calendar this year, but I have to say the advent calendar looks really, really good this year as well. Really, really strong. And then the final thing that Lego revealed from a Star Wars point of view was the brand new Hoth Ultimate Collector Series set that will be available on May the 4th.
Yes.
At last. This has been delayed twice already. This was originally supposed to be coming out in September, then they pushed it back to January the 1st, and now we're getting it in May. So it's long overdue, and pictures have been flying around. And Lego themselves even put out a video showing all of these pieces in cartoon form last July. So this is a long overdue Lego release, and I have to say it looks great.
That's awesome. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Well, James, this has been absolutely amazing, and thanks for going down with that rabbit hole, that Lego rabbit hole with me. For sure, that was a blast.
Anytime, always happy to do that.
And let me know anything else that I'm missing. Like, what are kind of capping us off? What are some of the big takeaways of some of your favorite items that you saw at Toy Fair this year?
Well, we haven't finished it all, but BB-8 is everywhere. Tomorrow we are going to see the life-size version of BB-8 that will follow you around. Okay? This is a fully working BB-8 that you can talk to and interact with. Spin Master have done the impossible again. They've taken what they did with the legendary Yoda, but put all that tech into a real working BB-8.
Wow.
And he's going to be available later in this. He's going to be available later in the year for $180, which is not bad for a life-size BB-8 that can walk and talk and do various bits and pieces.
You're telling me that it's literally $60 more than the Sphero BB-8?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible, and I'm looking forward to seeing that tomorrow. So that's really, really big news. Hasbro-wise, there's some amazing new figures coming, especially if you love Rebels. We got to see the first ever glimpse of how Darth Maul is going to look in Rebels Season 2. Mm-hmm. We got to see that figure.
Uh-huh.
So I know there's lots of people that, you know, after they saw the sneak peek with Maul with his hood up in the trailer, we're desperate to see how he would look. And we can now confirm that he's shirtless and you can see all his tattoos. And
nice.
It's going to be interesting to see how he fits in.
Shirt.
Yep. Yeah. So that was good. What else? Jax is doing a fully electronic version of BB-8 that doesn't move. It's got stabilizers, so you can have it on display. The head moves a bit. That's only going to be $50. That's coming soon. I mean, just so many amazing products. Funko are doing some amazing t-shirts, some pins, more pops. They're doing a fighting version of Kylo Ren, another version of Rey. I mean, there really is a product for absolutely everybody. And, you know, Toy Fair is really the place to be. Hot Wheels, Mattel, have got some amazing stuff coming. We saw a preview, and if you go to the Mattel gallery at Jedi News, you'll see what looks like to be a Death Star. And they haven't even named this product yet, but we saw the prototype yesterday. We were the only website to see this prototype and to be able to photograph it. And you can actually race cars against this, and they will blow up the Death Star.
I am in awe. That is,
and
that is
it was
amazing.
It was incredible. So, and they showed off the Rey car, the Rey character car as well. So that looks fantastic. But I mean, the amount of people that, you know, vendors that we're seeing, everybody from Bandai, Brainstorm, who are doing some kites, Cardinal Games, Cartamundi, the card people, Comic Images, Plush, Fantasy Flight Games, Funko, as I've said, Jelly Belly with their Star Wars stuff, Coach Bakir with some amazing new BB-8 ice cube trays, Lego we've talked about, PPW Toys who make the super potato heads, the super collectible potato heads, are adding Han Solo and Chewbacca to the range. And I will exclusively reveal that there is a Chase variant C-3PO potato head coming out in April that has a red arm and gold legs.
Huh.
And there's only going to be 500 of those, and they're going to be randomly packed.
Nice.
That's going to be something for people to chase down.
Well, and also just the fun, you mentioned Funko, and that's, there have been a few items, and I think I'm an interesting case in some ways, just because in the lead up to The Force Awakens, just my fandom got so intense. Even though I do a weekly podcast, I found myself hitting the stores more often. I was picking up as many Lego sets as I could afford. I purchased a handful of the small Funko pop vinyls. It's just, I found myself getting much and much more into the collecting side of things. So this is really exciting for me to see, James, and not even including, I just pulled them up, but the new Funko, the pop ceramic mugs.
Yes.
Those things look really cool. Did they have those there?
They did. They had all of them that are currently available on display. Just finishing off our gallery for that, so that will go up in the next couple of hours. We've got about 8 or 9 galleries from today to go up.
That is amazing. That is, so the place to be is JediNews.co.uk. Make sure you're following there. And you guys are getting ready. Episode 8, getting ready to film, I imagine, as Pinewood's buzzing.
It started.
I know. Oh, that's right. That's right. Because it's coming up in Croatia, but it's already started in London, right?
Yeah. They've been the guys that we know working on the film actually went back at the beginning of January and started or restarted working on it. So that was good. Nice. So yeah, so they're working full-time at Pinewood on episode 8. They've started working on episode 9, and they're in the midst of wrapping Rogue One.
That's amazing. And in the first part of the podcast, for the folks who are listening, I talked to a gentleman who's owns a tourist company in Croatia, and he's really excited right about now because of the upcoming filming in Dubrovnik. So it looks like they're getting their locations ready, that the production has started, filming has begun, and man, it's already February 14th. It's like 10 months until Rogue One, and a year after that, Episode 8. It's pretty exciting. So exciting times. Make sure you're watching Jedi News. And James, it's a pleasure to talk to you and have you officially on the Star Wars Report podcast. Don't be a stranger, man. We'd definitely love to keep in touch with you guys as Star Wars in Britain keeps exploding. And eventually, maybe they'll come here to my neighborhood at Pinewood, Atlanta, and film some stuff. Stop all this Marvel filming. Let's bring some Star Wars to my neighborhood.
No. Let's keep Star Wars in the UK, please. Star Wars is a UK thing. Let's keep it there.
All right.
Just one more thing. So all your listeners know, obviously we've launched the Jedi News Network, and we've got 4 amazing shows on the network. We have a new episode of the Star Wars Collector's Cast coming out tomorrow, Monday, at 5:01, I don't know why we chose that time, 5:01 p.m. in the afternoon, and it's a collector's car, so it's more talk from the floor of New York. It's going to be a 2-part show, so the first part will be tomorrow, and the next part will be Friday, and I just spent about half an hour on the phone to our great friend Steve Sansweet, filling him in on all the details as what's been going on over here. So he's on the show, and we also find out what's been going on at Rancho Obi-Wan as well.
There you go. Yes, tune in, because this podcast goes up in the morning. So if you guys are listening to this on Monday, which a lot of you are, make sure you check out the Jedi News Network. As I say, the links will be in the show notes. Search for episode 209 of the Star Wars Report podcast. All right. Well, James, it's an absolute pleasure, and we will catch you very soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's Jango Fett signing off with a little Georgia.
We like to keep it tight. We like to keep the content to be engaging, interesting, and something that you guys enjoy, and I never like to put too much fluff in it. So I'm definitely going to call a wrap on this week's episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Folks, let's put the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Oh man, you guys totally noticed this, by the way, when you were listening. I was totally avoiding pronouncing this fine gentleman's name, Rojidar Yuchik. I feel like I'm just, there's something, I even messed it up that time. With all the time I had to prep. Come on, Riley. Rojidar Yukich. Yukich. There we go. There we go. Close enough. I want to say that was like a C. A solid C. A passing grade. It's not perfect, but it's enough. It's enough. All right, folks. Let's get you guys this last few pieces of information. Again, make sure that you're heading over to StarWarsReport.com. Look for the episode 209, and we'll have all of those links in the show notes for this week's podcast episode. And again, Brojdar was the best. The website is StarWarsDubrovnik.com. I have a feeling that he's going to be on the front lines of Star Wars, and it's so cool that he was willing to give us the lowdown and be willing in the future to hopefully get us some exclusives, some inside sauce on the filming. And again, you guys know our policy, no spoilers, but it's exciting maybe to get an insider's perspective that won't happen anywhere else. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I'll make the promise, pinky promise from yours truly. It's the kind of thing you'll find right here. Folks, make sure you're following us on Twitter. It's at Star Wars Report. We're also on Facebook.com/Star Wars Report. I am also on Twitter. Make sure that you follow me. A huge thank you to everybody who stuck through the credits last time. We've had a lot of fun going back and forth at the Riley guy, for those of you who used the Sneaky Snoke hashtag. That was the best. To quote the great green one, it brought warm feelings to my heart. All right, folks. Also, make sure, I mean, take a look at my notes here, make sure I'm not forgetting anything. Of course, yeah, email. If you want to email us like Damien did, we can keep the messages coming. Make sure you do. It's StarWarsReport@gmail.com. One sentence. Why do you love Star Wars? Why do you love Star Wars? All right, folks. I'm going to toss this in as kind of an aside. I didn't make a big deal of it at the beginning of the show or anything. It might be for some of you, it might not be. So if you're interested in the world of politics, but not politics, the unpolitics world, if you're interested in hearing me and my good buddy and talk radio personality, Scott Rifen, talk about the state of the 2016 race from the context of the everyman, the voter, well, then you should go check out the Beyond the Vote podcast. Beyond the Vote is a brand new podcast that I'm doing that chronicles the 2016 election. Absolutely nothing to do with Star Wars, but I can promise you this, we're both huge fans, so there will probably be a lot of references. It's a good time. We each have our own biases, our own perspectives on the world, and we definitely don't hide those, but I like to think that it's a fun and respectful way that we talk about the state of politics. So if you like that kind of thing, check out Beyond the Vote, available on iTunes, SoundCloud, and of course my personal website, RileyBlanton.com. Thanks for indulging the little personal anecdote. This has been the Star Wars Report podcast. It is 1 hour of pure, unadulterated Star Wars awesomeness. Whew. Thanks, folks. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, stop. Nope. Hey, stop. Oh, come on. It won't stop. Wow. I'm telling you, man, this tablet's not my friend. All right, here we go. All right, we can cap it off after.
Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
There we go. All right, folks, we will catch you on the other side.
See you later.